legs and arms and around her ribs. It had taken Mildred some time to make certain there were no fractures. Now Christy rested on the bed, looking pale and washed out. Doc paced up and down the room. He was biting his lips, fingers constantly stroking the silvery stubble on his chin.
Upon my soul, this is a damnably strange experience. These two villains are seemingly set on a course of action destined to allow them some vengeance for some old and ill-imagined slight. But they are prepared to wait for it.
Believe me, Doc, there's nothing ill-imagined about their vengeance. The days we rode with Traitor, me and JB stepped on some toes. And some faces. Left some smoldering vills. Some weeping widows and plenty of red-eyed orphans. More than a handful of widowers as well.
Magus and Wolfram got more claims against us than most. Wolfram's business of trading and stickies was ruined by us. He got some wounds in that action. And the Magus, well, he'll never again be the man he was.
It's unsettling finding them both here. Damn, my clothes are still wet.
You field stripping clean and oil the 6 hour?
Sure. Thing is, the bastard's got a plan, no doubt about it. Can't be a coincidence they're here. I wonder if they might have been watching us from back in Twin Forks. The steel-eyed fuckhead had me right in the palm of his hand, but he just said that it would come later. Confident. Real confident. He stood and stretched, feeling the stiffness in his arms and wrists from the battle to save Christie's life, wincing at the strain of the deep black bruise where the unnatural grip of the Magus had plucked him from a watery tomb.
I've changed my mind.
About staying aboard, Christy?
It's a woman's prerogative, isn't it, lover? If it had been just an ordinary sort of ambush...
Ryan sat by her and squeezed her hand. I don't know. There's things a man shouldn't run away from.
Very runic and Old West. Very John Wayne. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do, even if he ends up in Boot Hill.
They all froze, every head turning upward at the sound of someone moving above them.
Wolfram. Shit is letting us know he's there.
Storm did some damage to the superstructure of the Eagle, but we've got it in hand. Soon have the old lady looking as fresh and good as new. Worst was the Calliope got mostly blown away. We carry some spare pipes, so the good Lord willing, we'll be tuning up some music for you in a day or so. Main thing is that we've lost some time.
Ryan checked his wrist chron, surprised to find that the battering didn't seem to have damaged it at all.
Running well late.
We pride ourselves on this run that we keep time. Means that we won't hit crosstown on schedule unless we take in a tuck here and there. Easiest is to pick up at St. Louis. Sorry to disappoint those passengers looking forward to a whoop and a holler in the ville, but we'll be stopping only for about 3 hours to stock up on water and provisions and carry out some of the main repairs. Then we'll move on.
I was looking forward to some time on shore. I visited Old St. Louis in the days when I was doing competitive pistol shooting.
You'll find it changed. Got badly nuked. The old city more or less vanished, and the site of the settlement shifted by miles. Just a black, red-hot hole in the ground where it was. The big river moved as well. The new St. Louis is a neat little ville. Not unlike Twin Forks.
Really? Still, it seems a shame that we won't have much time there.
We're sorry about this. Every passenger can enjoy a complimentary drink of either wine or beer with their meal this evening. The storm means that we'll hit Cairo much later than we wanted, probably during the dark hours. We suggest that passengers stay aboard. Some evil folks come out during the darkness in Cairo. Then, as soon as we get past St. Louis, everything's back to normal. Any questions? All of you feel free to approach any of my officers, and if they can't help you, then I'll be glad to do my best for you.
Ryan had examined their cabins, finding that there were interconnecting doors concealed behind oriental hanging drapes. For extra security, he unlocked them, giving them all free access to one another's cabins and to a better escape in the event of any sudden attack. But his gut feeling was that the twin enemies weren't planning anything like that.
This whole thing seems to be in their hands.
Ryan was uneasily conscious of the time passing, as though he and the others were already just puppets of Wolfram and the Magus. But however hard he tried, Ryan couldn't perceive any direct threat. There was still time to ask Houston to pull alongside the rain-drenched shore, and they could all be off safely in a couple of minutes. but Ryan suspected that the evil pair would already have seen that possibility and laid specific plans to counter it.
Best thing to do is just keep alert. From now on, be a good idea not to sleep naked. Best to keep mainly clothed, with just the boots kicked off. Blasters at the ready.
The last time I slept unclothed, as nature intended, bare naked, nude, stripped, peeled, I was in hospital for a minor operation when I was in my early 20s in Egremont, Illinois. Then it was forced upon me.
What minor op, Doc?
I think that falls into the region of being my business.
Means it was either prostate or piles, Doc. And if I stake the family fortunes on it, I think I'd go for piles. Were you riding tall in the saddle, Doc?
It is truly no matter for jesting, you sneering harridan.
Doc, you don't have to yell.
I can tell you, madam, that it was far from amusing. One of the most severe pains that I have ever suffered. It was akin to having a child's fist protruding from my rectal orifice. Had you offered me $1,000, Dr. Wyeth, to sit down, I should not have been able to do it.
Mildred held up her hands, palms outward.
All right, Doc. Mea culpa. Shouldn't have made a joke about something like that. I've seen patients with that problem, and I know how agonizing it can be for them. I'm sorry.
I accept your apology. Ye knew not what ye spake. But I must insist you acknowledge...
I think that's enough, Doc. We got us plenty of trouble already without turning on each other.
That's true enough, Ryan. I can't think of two worse enemies in all of Deathlands to have against you than those two. The Magus and Wolfram.
When Ryan walked barefoot onto the dew-wet deck, the sky was just brightening from the east. He looked above him, toward the barricaded stateroom deck, and caught a glimpse of one of the hard-faced sec men leaning over, staring down at him.
Morning, friend.
Ryan waved his left hand. His right dropped to the cold butt of the Sig Sauer, already holstered at his hip. The man's expression didn't alter, but he slowly drew back out of sight.
Yeah, and fuck you too.
Ryan resumed his watch over the river. The great paddle wheel was turning at a good rate, the rudder holding the Golden Eagle safely in the middle of the Sippy, which was, Ryan calculated, close to half a mile wide at that point, up above Cairo. The banks were wooded, with a mix of conifer and deciduous trees, and there was no sign of life anywhere on either side of the river. Ryan was aware of someone moving behind him, and he spun.
Phew! Fast as ever, Ryan.
The man that gets slow also gets dead, Trader used to say.
Trader also said, man moves too fast, he gets dead.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Well, nobody ever said Trader was the most consistent man on this planet.
You think he's alive?
Nah, probably not. I think we'd have heard some words by now if the old lion was still living.
A small boat shot out from the starboard bank, propelled by a couple of young boys, rowing together, heading toward the center of the stream. Captain Houston, or whoever was on the bridge, spotted them and gave them a warning. The boys were both smiling, and they stopped rowing, standing up in their rocking boat and dropping their britches, mooning the huge paddle steamer. Ryan leaned over the rail, watching the capering lads as their boat receded astern into the tumbling waves caused by the passage of the Golden Eagle.
Pretty funny.
Ryan glanced back in time to see the taller of the boys, a ginger-headed youth, throw up his arms and topple silently into the muddy waters. He rose once and then vanished in a small ripple. The second lad went down, blood blossoming from his face, joining his dead companion in the river, while the empty boat drifted on southward.
Son of a fucking bitch! Those shit-eating bastards! That came from up there!
Ryan touched Jack on the shoulder, aware that he was quivering with the ferocious tension of white-hot anger.
Let it lie.
Cold murderers.
There's nothing we can do about it. Not now. It's likely nobody else saw or heard a thing. It was a silenced hunting blaster. The noise wouldn't carry above the sound of the engine and the paddle wheel. The kids are dead. There's nothing gonna bring them back.
I'd like a chance to get at them.
I can't argue with you on that, Jack. We just have to hope the chance comes.
At breakfast, they were entertained by a tall, skinny musician with greased back hair and a vivid floral waistcoat who was plucking at a long-necked banjo.